This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Who makes the best sandwiches in Kansas City? Let the debate begin, because one person's idea of a great sandwich may not be the same as the person next door. Today, our food writers are in the house to run down their picks and to tell us what exactly constitutes a sandwich to begin with. Just maybe you can pick up an idea of where to go today on your lunch break or to try out what may become your favorite sandwich in Kansas City. Our food writers today are Liz Cook, a critic and writer for The Pitch. Liz, always good to have you here. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me, Steve.
Carlton Logan is a one-time chef, but I guess always a chef. He used to work out at Longview Mansion. Carlton, nice to have you too. Welcome.
Great to be here, Steve.
You know, Liz, we always begin these shows with some rundown of some industry news, what's happening in the restaurant scene in our area. Let's talk about KCK's Strawberry Hill, because lots of shakeup going on up there.
Yeah, you know, we're in the summer, which is usually kind of a sleepy time for the restaurant industry generally, but we've seen a bit of a shakeup there, especially in KCK, which is, of course, as we all know, famed neighborhood of KCUR's own Paul Nyakatura and
there,
the booth.
There you
so,
go.
You know, we got a homegrown.
We all know
gentes?
That.
We're going to talk gentes?
We are going to talk gentes. So, yeah, great lead-in for you, Paul. So, Sarah's on the Hill, which is kind of a beloved pizza and stromboli and hot hoagie spot for a while, is now Chente's on the Hill after a sale recently to Vincent Galicia of Chente's Pizza. The good news for lovers of Sarah's on the Hill is that Galicia plans to keep the menu roughly the same for now. All he's kind of teased so far is that there's going to be a couple new Mexican-inspired pizzas, so you might be able to stop in for some carne asada pizza or, you know, some chorizo pizza soon.
There's another one.
What, is there?
Yeah, they're putting pesto on pizza.
Okay.
Oh, pesto pizza. Yeah, well, okay, got it.
No,
innovate.
No, no, not pesto. Pastor.
Oh, pastor. Oh. Okay. Mm. Well, now this could be controversial for the pineapple on pizza haters, right? Because usually with an al pastor, you'll get a little bit of pineapple. Do they have it on the pizza, Paul?
Not on the pizza, but it's still like a onion cilantro vibe going.
Oh. Okay.
It's and there's tasty.
A Caribe Blue. What's going
on
with that?
Yeah, so Liz? This is just new this week. I went by to try to grab a Cuban in preparation for this show this week, and there was a sign on the door saying that Caribe Blue was now closed. And it's going to hopefully reopen as a new restaurant soon. The sign on the door promises that on September 7th, there will be a new Puerto Rican restaurant called El Jibarito. But it's unclear yet whether the menu and some of the beloved favorites from the Caribe Blue menu will remain. I'm thinking of that Cuban. I'm thinking of the tripleta. I'm thinking of the mofongo. So you got to hope that they'll keep a few of those around in the new spot. But for now, that's obviously a disappointing loss for the neighborhood. That space was great.
Well, Liz, you have some follow-up reporting to do here on Caribe Blue and what's going on then.
I do. I'll be there when it opens.
Yeah. You also want to talk about piano bars, maybe making a comeback here.
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting trend that I will confess I did not see coming, but we've got a bit of a piano bar wave in the metro. So I think we started things off when the Uptown Lounge went in June in the old home of Davies Uptown in Midtown. So that's obviously a pretty big pivot from the kind of, you know, live music dive that Kansas City Midtown residents knew and loved.
Right.
And then a month later, Overland Park got a dueling piano bar.
Wow.
Tequila Flats at Guitars and Cadillac. So a little bit of a blast from the past there. And now Joyce Smith at The Star, who's on the piano bar beat, has reported that there may be another one coming to Midtown soon. So there's this big cavernous space on Broadway where Komatsu Ramen used to be.
Ah.
And apparently there's an outpost of Jack and Diane's dueling piano bar that's due to enter that space.
So why would piano bars be making a comeback here? Any theories?
Yeah, so the New York Times actually had an article about this, I think, back in May, because this is not something that's just localized to Kansas City. I think you've seen that across the country, actually. So there's a little bit of speculation that, you know, obviously after the pandemic, people want to go out, they want to see live music, but that doesn't necessarily explain why we would want to go to a piano bar.
I was going to say,
yeah.
There's still a distinction there, maybe.
So I think some of that, which the New York Times article alludes to, is that people are a little bit more interested in a participatory vibe. So, you know, after so long at home, getting used to watching things on Zoom, maybe we don't want to sit back and just, you know, watch live music anymore. We want to be part of the show. We want to be making requests and interacting with the performers. And that's something that's a little bit more acceptable at a piano bar than, you know, a jazz bar where they're there to, you know, perform their own style.
Carlton, are you a piano bar person?
I've been to a couple.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see it, you know, we're kind of craving that, engagement, you know, right now. So what's better than getting together and singing Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline?
But can you see young people going to Westport to hear piano music?
Yeah, I will confess I'm a little bit skeptical that there's this like vast untapped market of youths who want to flock to a Westport bar on the weekend to hear show tunes. I mean, perhaps I will be surprised. And if I am proven wrong, I will show up. I will sing Ladies Who Lunch, you know, draped across a piano in penance.
Maybe we'll record that there and play it on a future episode of Up To Date. That sounds great. You also have news about an opening of a new caterer out at Arrowhead.
Yeah, I think just in time for Chief season, it's probably good to highlight a spot that we'll also be highlighting later in the program as part of our favorite sandwiches, which is the Italian Sausage Co. So they are now offering concessions at Arrowhead Stadium. And, you can't get all of the sandwiches on the menu there. It's mostly going to be the sausages. But if you're in Section 134, you can drop by for, I think, better than average stadium food.
Well, that sounds like something to think about when you're out at Arrowhead here. Carlton, you've got some thoughts on what constitutes a sandwich to begin with, because there's lots of things to think about here. And you begin with this idea, can a hot dog or a burger be considered a sandwich?
I think this started, I did a show several years ago here, and there was a debate about whether a wrap was a sandwich.
Yeah.
And I started just kind of reading and researching, and it's kind of up for interpretation, you know.
Wrap's a sandwich, isn't it?
If you consider it loosely, yes.
Yeah.
If you kind of, you know, expand your thought process beyond two slices of bread and a filling.
Okay.
Yes, it's a sandwich.
Yeah. Liz, is a wrap a sandwich?
Look, so I get a little bit salty about this whole discussion because I think, like, you can be technically correct and still, like, practically confusing.
Yeah,
so
right.
Is a hamburger a sandwich? Sure. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yes.
Sure. Is an ice cream sandwich a sandwich? Absolutely.
Yes.
But, you know, we've had whole shows on the Food Critics about just burgers or just tacos.
Exactly.
Or just burritos. If we're going to be having a whole sandwich show, we're probably not going to be covering those particular offshoots, right?
Exactly. Well, to me, a hot dog and a hamburger are not sandwiches. Mm. Ice cream's not a sandwich. A wrap is a sandwich. That's where I'm coming from, just so everybody knows it coming out of the gate here.
Here we go.
Yeah. Okay. Let's, the two main components of a sandwich, what do you have to have to have a good sandwich, Carlton?
Well, again, you know, kind of looking at this and reading about it and getting various input, it's typically a filling of some type, and it's usually encased with bread or some other food item. It could be, again, as we just talked about, completely wrapped in whatever it is. But typically that's what it is. And I always think about it as the filling is kind of the star of the show. I mean, you're not going to go get two slices of bread and say, oh, this is what I'm going to eat for lunch. You're really wanting the filling that's in between the bread.
Mm-hmm.
You want the turkey and cheese and lettuce and tomato. You want the chicken salad. You're not just going, oh, I'm just going to eat this bun for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
The filling is the star of the show, and whatever you put that on or wrap around the filling, that's kind of the co-star to the whole production.
Well, speaking of things you wrap around the filling, you wanted to talk about Kitty's Cafe and the pork tenderloin over there.
Kitty's Cafe, the pork tenderloin sandwich, it makes everyone's kind of list, I think, in terms of looking at tenderloin. It's a little bit different because most of the time we see a pork tenderloin, it's breaded. But Kitty's is actually three patties. They're a little thin. And it's a tempura-like batter. So it's a completely different texture, and it's served with onions and this wonderful hot sauce that they make. And it's a completely different experience. I have lived here all of my life and heard about the sandwich and didn't try it until earlier this year. And I'm completely honest when I say it changed my life. Completely honest.
That's for the better, I assume.
Exactly. I mean, it's one of those things where you taste it, and it's the texture, it's the flavors, and it's unlike any other tenderloin, pork tenderloin that you've had.
No kidding. Have you had it, Liz?
Oh, yeah. That's on my list, too. I don't think you can talk about sandwiches in Kansas City without talking about Kitty's, right? Like,
no.
That's a city institution. We ought to have it on money.
Where is it?
So that's over on, it's in Midtown, on the east side, on 31st, I believe.
Yeah. Well, I got to go check that out. That sounds great. We got a recommendation here from Matthew from Kansas City, Missouri. What do you got?
Hi. Well, my favorite is a Mexican sandwich. It's called a torta, and I get it from a taqueria called Dos de Oros. That's two of gold. And it's in Martin City, but you could have milanesa, which is a pulled pork. You could have barbecues or barbacoa. Yeah, lengua is my favorite, beef tongue. It takes some getting used to, but it is tender and juicy, and the whole sandwich is humongous.
Why does the beef tongue take a little getting used to, Matthew?
Well, sometimes it'll have some taste buds still left on the meat, but, you know, just kind of close your eyes and then just dive in, and then you'll find that it doesn't really matter.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Yeah. Liz, you know anything about that?
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of tongue. Usually you want to shave the taste buds off of it. But when prepared right, it's incredible. You know, it's a muscle that you have to kind of cook slow and slow to kind of get those fibers to soften. But it's really great. I highly recommend lengua if you haven't had it before.
Okay. Matthew, thanks for the call.
Anytime.
You bet. Liz, you wanted to go to a couple of classics to start off your list of sandwiches that people should be thinking about around town.
Yeah, well, Carlton already mentioned Kitty's, which is always going to be on my list. But another one that, you know, I think will be on my list no matter how many times we do this show is the Hook 'em Up at M&M Bakery, which is, you know, in the same part of town as Kitty's, actually. So if you're really hungry, you can kind of do a twofer stop there. So M&M Bakery is kind of famous. It's been in Kansas City for a really long time, and they do some fantastic cold cut sandwiches. And maybe their, you know, iconic sandwich is the Hook 'em Up, and the meat slicers do hook you up. You will have a stacked sandwich. So it's kind of a classic cold cut. They take a really soft, pillowy onion bun, and they pile it with pepper beef and turkey ham. There's no pork at M&M Bakery, so know before you go. And then there's two kinds of cheese on that sandwich, which is pepper jack and American. There is a little Miracle Whip, which I know will make some people a little bit uneasy. I contend that it works on the sandwich, although I do understand the skepticism. It's a great classic sky-high cold cut. I think it's an iconic Casey sandwich, and I would recommend it.
Can you put too much? Can you stack it too high?
Oh, you can. I mean, if it gets to the point where I can't put my mouth around it, you know, that's when it gets too high. I think the Hook 'em Up at M&M and the CEO, which is their even larger sandwich, are kind of just flirting with that without flying too close to
the
sun.
They're not too bad.
Yeah. Okay. Carlton, let's move over to, we were talking sausage, new sausage out at the Arrowhead. How about Marco Polo's Italian Market grilled Italian pork sausage on a bun?
Well, again, we're looking at, you know, what constitutes a sandwich. And it is an Italian sausage at Marco Polo's. Jasper does and his staff, they do a wonderful job of grilling these sausages, these wonderful Italian sausages. And they're placed on a bun with grilled onions, green and red peppers, I think, if I remember correctly, and these sautéed potatoes. So it's this really flavorful combination that just has very simple ingredients and simple flavors on a bun. And it's just one of those things that it's just kind of simple flavors.
That sounds good. That's Marco Polo's Italian Market, right?
We're talking here. Right next to Jasper's.
KCUR's own Michael Byers has tweeted his sandwich pick, and that's the chicken shawarma wrap from Baba's Pantry. Perfectly seasoned, he writes, and multi-textured and delicious.
I have not been to Baba's. It's on my list, definitely.
Okay.
One thing I can say about that
Paul.
Is that those Gabe Rosenberg from our audience development team brought those fries into the station for lunch, and oh my goodness.
From Baba's?
Yes. Oh god. Oh man, they Whew, the way they smelled in the newsroom was annoying because I couldn't go.
You couldn't go enjoy because you had to work.
Eh? Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Well, that's a good shout out for Baba's Pantry here. Liz, how about the Fun Guy?
Yeah, well, I mean, Paul mentioned fries, so I guess I should say that the Fun Guy, which is a sandwich of Kind Food, comes with incredible waffle fries. So, you know, if you want a side there, that works as well. But this is currently a special at Kind Food that I hope becomes a little bit more of a major player. But it's a vegan sandwich, which I think has universal appeal. So you've got local oyster mushrooms that are fried, and they're coated in a really crisp breadcrumb, so they don't get kind of gummy. This is a sandwich that travels really well, and the mushrooms stay really crisp and fresh.
Right.
And it's on a sturdy hoagie that holds up to kind of everything that's going on. And it's dressed with these big hunks of pickled red onions, sriracha mayo, and a little bit of a slaw. So this is kind of the perfect combination to me of like fried, crunchy, crispy textures on a soft baguette. And I think it's super satisfying.
Okay. We received a whole bunch of recommendations through KCUR's text line. Let me go to some of those now. Two votes for Bay Boy, which is very high on my list. One for the namesake sandwich, Bay Boy, and one for the Nebraskan with extra sauce. The Napolitano at Carollo's Grocery and Deli down in the River Market gets a big vote here. A shout out for Tay's Cheesesteaks in North Kansas City. Someone else wrote the BLTC at the Lunchbox, and the Ship's Firecracker Shrimp Po' Boy gets high marks as well. Carlton, let's go to the Hook 'em Up and Reuben sandwiches at the M&M Bakery.
Okay.
We already mentioned the M&M already, but let's go back there again.
Yes, we'll go back again because it's always good to go back. The interesting thing is I've had the Hook 'em Up many times, and usually that's the only sandwich I order. Earlier this year, I was living with my uncle in the area, and I thought, you know, I'll pick up sandwiches for us for lunch. So I said, I'll get the Hook 'em Up and I'll get the Reuben. Well, he's still trying to get his taste buds back. So he said, I really can't eat those sandwiches. So I was like, okay, so I'll eat half of one today and half of the other today, and I'll eat the other half of both tomorrow. So I got the Reuben and the Hook 'em Up, and it was a great change of pace from the Hook 'em Up, you know, just doing the Reuben. And I have to say, Pat does a really good job. Pat at M&M does a really good job of making his own bread, and so the rye bread is made on the premises. And yes, it's the traditional sandwich, but you know that the bread was made there on the premises.
Because you can't ignore the bread, right?
Again, you the bread complements the sandwich.
Okay. All right, Liz, let's go to the number 22 at the Italian Sausage Company.
Yeah, so I really love this spot. This is a new old spot in Gladstone. So Joe and Michelle Brancato, their family had operated a deli in Kansas City for a long time that closed around 2002. And they just reopened as Italian Sausage Co. this year. And I think you can throw a dart at the menu and you'll get a great Italian sandwich. They've got both cold and hot. But my favorite right now is the number 22, which started out as a temporary collaboration with local chili oil baron James Chang, who is at Waldo Thai and also sells his chili oil as J. Chang Kitchen.
Okay.
So this sandwich has a really cocky amount of salami and pastrami and a really kind of nicely oozed burrata and James's chili oil on a soft and crisp-skinned baguette. And it's just got everything. It's got the right balance of salt and acid and fat and richness, everything, qualities to which we should all aspire.
Carlton, let's move over to the brisket sandwich at the Fairway Market.
So every kind of spring to fall, Fairway Market, formerly known as McGonagall's, has a food truck parked out in front. And out of the truck, they serve wonderfully smoked meats on sandwiches, ribs, that sort of thing. I really enjoy the brisket sandwich. It's smoked well. And they give you a heaping portion of the brisket on the sandwich. Sometimes you can get two meals out of it. And it then goes very well if you get the seasoned fries or the onion strings.
Mm. Both those sounds really good, don't they? That's the Fairway Market, a.k.a. the market formerly known as McGonagall's, from Carlton Logan there. John wrote us on Twitter, said the Pigwitch has a rotating daily off-menu special sandwich, and he says it never disappoints. So Pigwitch gets a shout-out as well. Liz, let's go to, what's your next one here? The Corners Lalo's Kitchen you want to go to.
Yeah, so one of your listeners already called in and recommended a torta, and I'm going to do the same thing. You know, KCK has branded as the Taco Trail, and obviously we're a city known for its tacos, but I think it can be easy to overlook the torta, which is, you know, a larger sandwich that kind of combines all of your favorites in a burrito in this bolillo, which is kind of like a baguette that's a little bit wider and shorter and softer. So I really like the cochinita pibil torta from the corner Lalo's Kitchen in Mission. And cochinita pibil is really what Lalo became famous for. If you've never had it before, it's a slow roasted pork dish. Traditionally, it would be roasted in a pit with banana leaves, so it would kind of get that grassy flavor. And, you know, Lalo isn't digging a pit in the asphalt behind the restaurant, but he does make a really incredible, juicy cochinita pibil. And so on this torta, you'll have all of that pork. You'll have creamy white beans, and then you'll have lettuce, tomato, jalapeno, and a chipotle crema. And, you know, it sounds like it might be a little bit soupy, but the bread is sturdy enough to hold up to that. And this is a huge sandwich. They cut it in half, which is important because you will be extremely full after just one half of this bad boy.
Yeah. Again, can it be too much?
Well, if
because the idea
as it,
of having to go back to work after eating all that, you know, might make you a little bit think twice about that.
Yeah, you would need a nap. So I think you got to eat half now, and if you know if you get the right kind of sandwich, which I think this is one of those, it'll keep the second half will keep well, so you can come back to it later.
Okay, let's go to the Paradise Bacon Grilled Cheese Sandwich and Chicken Salad Sandwich, Logan.
So, Best Regards is pretty much well known for their grilled cheese sandwiches. They have about four or five right now. And recently, my favorite is the Espinaca grilled cheese sandwich. But, you know, I'm trying to make changes. So, the last time I was there, I ordered the Paradise Bacon grilled cheese sandwich. And it's a grilled cheese with bits of Paradise Bacon produced out of Paradise, Missouri, if I remember correctly. So it's a very nice, flavorful smoked bacon. And also, I do like the chicken salad as well. It has poppy seeds in it, and it's very flavorful as well. So those are two sandwiches from Best Regards that are kind of my favorites right now.
Okay, that sounds great. We have some more recommendations through KCUR's text line. The Boulevard Tavern and its shaved prime rib sandwich gets a mention, which must mean it's French dip, this writer says. Someone else writes, how about the Nashville hot chicken sandwich at Lucky Boy's Bar and Grill? Dan from KCK recommends San Antonio's in KCK. Can't recommend it enough. And it's El Pastor Dogwood, all meat dogwood breakfast sandwich. I love San Antonio's. My family goes there a lot. We have another one, short rib sandwich at the Silo Modern Farmhouse, and the falafel sandwich from Baba's Pantry. We mentioned Baba's in our first half today. Got a great shout out here. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Dave from Kansas City, Missouri. Dave, you're on Up to Date.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Good. Yeah, the number one at Carollo's. You can order it with hot or mild jardinera. I prefer the hot. I think it's best that way, and it is done on a hoagie-style bun that I believe is farm-to-market's bread. It has the spicy Italian cold cuts on it, the capicola ham, the salami, and then there's a third meat. I can't remember which it is. And then they douse it with balsamic vinegar and some really good olive oil. And that's probably the number one best sandwich.
Well, Dave, you described that pretty well. You could be a food writer yourself.
Well, I can see it in my mind, and I'm salivating.
I'm getting that impression.
Describe it.
Yeah.
My number two would probably be the New Yorker at Anthony's, but I think they took it off the menu at COVID time, and it hasn't made it back yet.
Yikes.
But it's a hot sandwich, so it's kind of a different thing.
Have you mentioned this, told them to bring it back again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I think like so many small businesses, they just don't have enough people that are willing to work to be able to maintain that many things on the menu.
Right. Well, Dave, I'm glad you called. Thanks so much.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay.
Take care. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Carlton Logan, let's come back to you here. You have the Paradise Bacon Grilled Cheese Sandwich and Chicken Salad Sandwich at Best Regards Bakery and Cafe.
yes. Again, it's a wonderful grilled cheese sandwich with bacon. They also have some other sandwiches there. They have a porchetta sandwich as well that is a seasonal item, so to speak. and it's very popular as well. Again, they have a lot of great sandwiches there. The grilled cheese, the porchetta, another chicken salad. There's just a lot of sandwich options there at Best Regard.
Okay. Let's go to KCUR staffer Gabe Rosenberg, who's going to join us here and make one of his recommendations. Gabe, nice to have you. Good morning.
Steve, thank you.
What do you got?
All right, so I've got to rep the Broadway Butcher Shop. Not sort of a conventional pick, but every day they're open, they have a different sandwich, whether it's sort of party ham, they've got sort of buffalo mozzarella, caprese situation. Every day, different sandwich, and I always know, like, it's like it'll run you like $6-$8. Really good bread. I just love the variety. I'll always sort of pop in. I usually go there for like deli meats. They've got really good fennel salami that I'm addicted to, and really good cheeses. And so I go there for like, you know, get my own, make my sandwich at home stuff, and then I'll always just grab one of theirs on the way out.
Oh, that's a great, and I love the ambiance at that place too. It's a wonderful place.
They are so nice and so helpful. I get really good recommendations from them. They also randomly have really good spinach artichoke dip. I always end up with like a pile of things I didn't intend to buy, and one of those is always their sandwich of the day.
Oh, that's a great recommendation, Gabe. Thanks for giving it to us. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Steve.
Justin tweeted us this, the grilled cheese at the West Side Local with their legendary mac and cheese, and he says, so good. Dez on Twitter says, the Turkey Club at Woodyard Barbecue, great example of what perfection looks and tastes like. Standing in is my favorite local turkey club. The smoked turkey and ham is the star of the show. Don't sleep on this delicious handheld, is what Dez writes. Is that, you had that, Logan?
I have not had that sandwich.
Yeah, it sounds like something to think about. Let's go to your meatball grinder recommendation here.
So for many years, Mario's was located on Westport Road in Westport, and they made this wonderful grinder. And I can remember, again, as a child, my parents would take me there. And it was, instead of a Italian half bread that was, you know, cut in half, the bread was hollowed out and then stuffed. And I can still taste the cheesy meatballs in that sandwich. And, you know, they closed for a while and then they reopened again. And now Jovito's has the recipe. And so they're making grinders now with Italian sausage meatballs. And again, it's that hollowed Italian bread that's then stuffed with all these wonderful fillings.
That sounds, and where is that located?
Jovito's is on Warnell, right around 74th, I think.
Yeah, and that's worth going to.
Yeah, and the great thing about, you know, when we talk about sandwiches, one of the great things about sandwiches is you can eat them without a plate or a fork. Mm-hmm. Usually it's contained in some way, so you can eat it with your hands, you can eat it on the go, that sort of thing. So it's a, you know, eating that grinder, it keeps all of those wonderful ingredients trapped in that bread, so you really don't have to worry about making a mess. I think that's the worst thing about a sandwich. If you're eating a sandwich and it's messy and the filling's falling all out and everything.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's a bad thing for me.
Do we know much, Liz, about how we got the sandwich to begin with? Any great history of why are we talking about this and where did it come from?
Yeah, so I think there's one story which may or may not be apocryphal. It's sort of poorly sourced, but we've all heard of the Earl of Sandwich, right? Mm-hmm. So allegedly in 1762, the Earl of Sandwich at the time was playing poker, and it was time for dinner, and he was so enraptured with this game that he couldn't stop, and he asked one of his servants to bring him a piece of cold beef, roast beef, in between a couple slices of bread so that he could hold on to it and not stop his game while he ate. Mm-hmm. In actuality, there were cultures that had similar, like, sandwich-style dishes for a long time, especially in Turkey, you know, or in the Ottoman Empire, there were for a long time, like, rolled meats, like, bread, flatbreads rolled around meats. So I think, and we know that the Earl of Sandwich at the time did travel there, so I have some suspicions that he may have picked up the idea. I don't think it was his own invention, but that's kind of the usual story about where it came from.
So you aren't convinced this is 100% true?
I'm not going to give him 100% of the credit.
But that's the story, and we're going to stick with it then for a while. Ryan recommends the Italian beef at Pizza Man. And we have Zach Wilson, one of UpToDate's producers, with us this morning. Zach, good morning to you.
Hey, Steve.
What do you recommend?
So, first of all, I know you guys already talked about Bay Boy, but I just have to go back to that because this is the first time I went yesterday. UpToDate's senior producer, Danny Alexander, was telling me that KCUR's Luke Martin just thinks Bay Boy is like the best sandwich place ever. So I went yesterday and I got the El Jefe. It's a Cubano sandwich there on one of those Dutch crunch rolls. And I just think it's absolutely amazing and the bread is awesome. I will be going back there repeatedly. I know you guys were talking about sort of the debate about like what is a sandwich. What are your thoughts on open face sandwiches? Have we touched on that?
Great question. So, Liz?
So, I mean, my personal feelings, we can call it a sandwich, but if I need a knife and a fork to eat it, I'm not biting.
Fair enough. I still have a recommendation, Liz.
Go for it.
So over at Billy's Grocery, it's next to Costco in Midtown off of Gillum. They have this balsamic mushroom toast. It's called there's so much stuff on it. It's more like an open-faced sandwich to me. But it has it has sautéed mushrooms, onions, this really cool like cashew ricotta, balsamic glaze and bacon on sourdough, and I'm able to eat it like a sandwich, like with my hands. It's a little messy, but I love it.
That sounds great. That's Zach Wilson, one of our producers here at UpToDate. Zach, thanks very much.
Thank you.
You know, you were going to mention Bay Boy 2 again, Liz, and the Bandit sandwich.
Yeah, so we've had a couple people already call in. Bay Boy is well-loved for its sandwiches good reason. So the Bandit is just another one I'll throw in there, which is kind of a sweet and spicy mashup. So you've got roast beef, raspberry jam, and horseradish. And if that sounds odd to you, I promise you that totally works.
It sounds
just that
good to me.
Slight sweetness with a little bit of the zesty horseradish. And really, the Dutch crunch bread is, I think, what a lot of people come to Bay Boy for. So if you haven't had one of their sandwiches yet on that Dutch crunch roll, give it a try. So what they do, it's got this really craggy, crackly top, which they achieve by painting a little bit of rice flour on the top. So rice flour, it doesn't have any gluten in it. So when it bakes, it doesn't stretch. It breaks while the rest of the bun kind of rises. So it creates this really interesting textural pattern that I think makes all of their sandwiches a little bit extra special.
Let's go to Luke Martin, another KCUR staffer calling. He's a big sandwich guy. Luke, I appreciate you calling.
Hey, happy to do it, Steve.
What do you got, Luke?
Well, I've heard a lot of great recommendations, places I would also recommend. I don't know if anybody has mentioned the Reuben at Brown's Irish Market.
I don't think so.
Highly recommend it. It's one of my favorite Reubens in town. I love the cut of the meat and the ratio between meat and sauerkraut is wonderful there.
Wow.
I would highly recommend a trip to Brown's. There's also another one. I heard somebody mentioning, you know, open-faced sandwiches and these ideas of sandwiches that are so loaded down that they become difficult to eat. And it reminded me of, my favorite torta in town is a Cubana torta, which is like a fairly common variety of one that I like to get is at Tropicana. I think they were formerly called Paleterias Tropicanas. I think they might be called Palacana now or something like that. But there's a few locations around the metro, and their Cubana torta has everything for the kitchen sink on it. I think there's chorizo and eggs and ham and three different kinds of cheese and pork and sausage, avocado. Mustard and ketchup. I think they put like beans on there. And of course, you have the torta bread to kind of surround it all with. I don't know that the sandwich comes with a cardiologist, but it might need to. It's very good, very delicious, and it's a meal and a half. It also comes with a grilled jalapeno on the side. So, enjoy that.
But it works for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Great recommendations, Luke. Really appreciate you calling in. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Paul Nakatura, you got some other thoughts here.
I'm going to go barbecue, and it's not going to be from KCK.
Is that fair? Are we going to go barbecue?
Barbecue works.
Okay. You could open up a whole debate just on that front.
It's a sandwich, though. It is. Because I really wanted to open the debate. It's like, is a taco a sandwich? Is a hot dog a sandwich? I really wanted to do that, but I'm not doing that.
Right.
But the Mr. Burns at Q39.
Mm.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It's they're burnt ends with a provolone, I think.
I think so.
And crispy onion straws on a bun, and it is just fantastic.
That's a great recommendation. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Paul. Let's go to Adina here from Kansas City, Missouri. She wanted to mention wheat fields over in Lawrence. Adina, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thanks for having me, Steve. I'm on my way from Kansas City to Lawrence right now.
Okay.
And I wanted to recommend their chicken salad sandwich, as well as their tempeh Reuben, and pretty much any sandwich that they have available. They're always served on their own bread, which ranges from like a walnut sage to sourdough, and the list goes on. Bread is always served fresh daily, and
Wheatfields has really kind of emerged over the years over there as one of those places that so many people go to when they do go to Lawrence, right?
Absolutely. It's an institution. It's been there since the 90s. When I went there for the first time in the 90s, I thought it had been there for decades already. I think they built their own oven with consultants from wherever those kinds of ovens are based. Yeah, it's definitely an institution and the first place I take out-of-town visitors.
That's a great recommendation, Adina. Thanks for throwing it out here. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Another recommendation, another plug for Kitty's Cafe. Edward called in with his favorite, which is the pork tenderloin. I think we went there earlier, Logan. Carlton, you mentioned that as a place to think about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go to King G's.
So King G's is a deli that is on 18th Street.
Yep.
And it's Howard Hanna's kind of a deli place. And they make this tamago sando. So it brings in this kind of whole kind of Japanese concept. So it's basically an egg salad sandwich, so to speak. It has some very unique differences. One is it's made with the Japanese mayo, so that has a whole different flavor. Mm-hmm. And again, back to the mayo, not with the Miracle Whip. It's got to be either Hellman's or Duke's.
Or in this case, Kewpie, right?
Or Kewpie. Kewpie, yes. The Kewpie with the sando works well. And sando is a Japanese word for sandwich, basically. But it's an egg salad sandwich, basically. It's made with the Kewpie mayo, and also it's made with milk bread, which is very popular in Japan. And so it's a much softer bread. And one of the fun things about the sandwich is they usually take like half of a boiled egg and place it on the sandwich. So when you cut the sandwich in half, you get this wonderful kind of visual image of the egg white surrounded by the egg white surrounding the egg yolk. So it's a wonderful sandwich, and I think it's a great addition to our area. You know, kind of expanding our horizons and different concepts.
Very descriptive, Carlton. That's very nice. Very nice, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Let's go to Rachel Schnell, another KCUR staffers. Rachel, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Steve.
Yeah, what's your recommendation, Rachel, for a great sandwich in Kansas City?
I have not had a lot of sandwiches but in KC just yet. But one sandwich that I have had is at Guy's Deli and Pizza. Their sandwich, Guy's Three Meat, is just like the perfect classic sandwich. Mm. The bread is just the right amount of toasty. There's like a perfect meat to like lettuce and cheese ratio. It's really yummy after you spent like a whole day outside. So
that's a great recommendation. Rachel, thanks for giving it to us. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Yeah. How about the fried chicken sandwich at Pigwitch you wanted to mention?
Well, Pigwitch is a great example because I think through several of the recommendations that we've talked about, these sandwiches have come from butcher shops. Butcher shops are a great place to get sandwiches because they've got the meat right there. Mm-hmm. So the fried chicken sandwich at Pigwitch is really great because the breading is a mix of cornflakes and panko. Panko is, of course, again, a Japanese type of coating, breadcrumbs. But the cornflakes adds a different flavor and also a different texture to it. So it's a nice
recommendation.
Nice option to have, yeah.
Any suggestions for where to find a good BLT? One listener called in.
Well, sure. I've got a great one for you.
Yeah, go, Liz.
So at Happy Gillis, they've got, I think, a really good one right now. And I should open this with my hot take, which is that BLTs should not be available year-round. We are in prime BLT
prime
season
BLT
right now.
Prime BLT season right now because of tomatoes, right? Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, yes. I hear a lot of people talk about a few, like, famous BLTs in town, which I won't name names, but they are often made with, like, commercial hothouse tomatoes that are just really mm-hmm. feeble and mealy.
Amen.
And I can't get behind that. So right now, while it's tomato season, you owe it to yourself to get a good one that uses fresh, local heirloom tomatoes, and you can do that at Happy Gillis. So they've got these thick slices of Crumbs heirloom tomatoes, and they're on a hearty whole grain bread. I think it's a farm to market grains galore toast. There's a little bit of garden sauce, which is like an herby mayonnaise, and you got to have mayonnaise with the tomato. Mayonnaise to tomato mm-hmm. contact is crucial in a BLT.
Yeah.
And kind of a crisp weave of bacon, but it's not overloaded, right? I think this sandwich rightfully treats the tomato as the star of the show, and the bacon is a supporting player, and that's the ideal BLT for me.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. Could not agree more with that. Let's go to Dylan from Kansas City, Kansas. Dylan, you're on Up to Date.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
So I'm going to go with another Lawrence, Kansas option, just because I heard the Wheatfield shout out. A newer place in Lawrence that I really can't get enough of every time I go there is the Latchkey Deli. The staff's always really chill, very, very good vibes there, great place to sit down. But importantly, you can get their hot beef Louise sandwich there, which is just a big, juicy, wonderful sandwich on an onion hoagie. You got rosemary going on there. Oh, they use really good ingredients there. That's kind of their thing. They're sourcing locally and all that stuff. So yeah, it's a great spot. If people have not heard of Latchkey,
is it downtown near Mass, or where is it?
Sure is. It's around 12th and Mass Street.
Right.
I want to say.
Sure.
Anyone's familiar with where the old Papakino's location used to be in Lawrence? That's where it is.
Okay. Good recommendation, Dylan. Thank you very much for calling in. And let's go to Nancy from Mission. Nancy.
Hey there, Hamburgers. Dot Spot at 81st and Parallel in Kansas City, Kansas. Great hamburgers, great price. And the other place is the Toreador off of 79th and Metcalf. They just raised the price, almost doubled, and you got to make sure they don't put the burger on the bun. It gets soggy, but really, really good hamburgers. I think the secret's cooking it in one of those old cast iron skillets.
Mm. That sounds
known
great.
Known for its Mexican food, but really hamburgers.
Thanks, Nancy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good recommendation. Let's go to John from Independence. John, you're on the air.
Fritz's Smokehouse at 103rd and State Line, the Betty Rogers, which is sliced barbecued brisket and bacon, artichoke hearts, roasted red peppers, and can't remember what else is on there, but very good sandwich.
Well, John, Rogers, you mentioned Fritz's, and both our food writers began nodding their heads, so you struck a chord here. Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks for the call.
Anything on the menu there.
You bet.
You're welcome.
Carlton, let's go back to you, and you want to go to the IFO Tower?
So, banh mi sandwiches are very popular. My favorite place for banh mi is IFO Tower, and it is a traditional banh mi on a French baguette with lettuce, pickled carrot, cucumber, cilantro, and jalapeno. And if I remember correctly, I think they have it. Pork, and then several other proteins that they offer, but I always do the pork.
But you're happy man when you have that then, eh?
Yes.
How about the El Pastor at Torta?
So the El Pastor at El Fogon,
yeah.
Uh-huh. They have a lot, several tortas, and so I like the El Pastor, and we've talked about El Pastor earlier. And again, it is slices of pork on white bread with pinto beans, cheese, pico, that sort of thing. And again, it's a very flavorful sandwich.
Okay, I think we're going to have to wrap up here. Jeremy's on the line suggesting Rye has a great BLT with pork belly. He's recommending. I want to thank Carlton Logan here, the one-time chef out at Longview Mansion, Liz Cook, a critic and writer for The Pitch, for running down so many great suggestions. Thanks to our listeners and staffers for their ideas here as well. Thank you both. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Steve.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.